As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time you leave my fence. Properly this time.
We need more money, Paul. I can't keep eating this garbage.
This is Axel.
Spider hater.
Yes, spider hater.
This is Daddy, our newest.
And like you, she just left home.
You mean the loony bin?
Mick, our eyes, our protector. This is Sunshine, our warrior. Don't let his size frighten you. Fun's a teddy bear.
Nice to meet you, Miss Jenny.
If you're looking for a number, you won't find one.
They're not like us.
No, not in that way. But like us, the outcasts.
Outcasts?
Freaks.
Speak for yourself.
Society left them behind. Hurt them. Discarded them.
We were dead. All of us. Kali saved us. Here.
Don't get all mushy on us, no fun.
No, no mushy. True.
Now we help her.
In this life, kid, you roll over and you fight back.
We're all fighters here.
Fight who?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Okay, I took another week off last week because of Christmas. Even though Christmas was this past Monday, I took last Friday off just because of things and plans and schedules. It was pretty much impossible for me to get a new episode done in time. So I basically, instead of leaving you high and dry, I left you with about a 30-second Christmas message saying that Stranger Things would be returning this week. And guess what? We're back. And when I said Stranger Things, I mean Stranger Danger, of course. The only podcast in the world about Stranger Things, I guess. I don't know. Take my word for it. Don't look it up. Anyway, Where we last left you, the Demogorgons, the Demidogs, were about to come out of the hole and into the Hawkins laboratory. And all the guys were in trouble. And, of course, we found out that Will was really being forced to be used as a spy to the Shadow Monster. But all that's on hold for this week. All that's on hold for this episode. Because this episode, I'm not going to lie, is the episode I least looked forward into rewatching. Or should I say, I don't know if I was least looking forward to rewatching it. Maybe I was thinking this is the one I least enjoyed the first time I watched it. So I thought, okay, maybe the second time around, I'll enjoy it more. Now, is that the case? Probably not. Did I dislike it as much as I did the first time? I don't think so. Was it necessary to this season of Stranger Things? I'm not entirely sure, but was it necessary to the overall story of Stranger Things? Probably yes. Of course, I'm talking about Chapter 7 of Stranger Things 2, The Lost Sister. I took my notes, I watched the episode, and why don't we get right into this? This is Eleven's own little episode. It picks up right where Eleven is still in her mother's mind, in that you know, rainbow, three to the left, four to the right. It was repeating over and over, and she kind of wakes out of that startled and tells Becky basically what she saw.
And it just kept repeating.
Repeat?
Like a circle, just showing you the same image over and over.
She kept showing the girl in the room.
The rainbow room? What did the girl look like?
Different.
Different than you?
I think this is why Mama wanted to talk.
To show you the girl.
I think she wants me to find her.
So Becky actually brings her into a room that Terry has some paperwork from the laboratory, just a bunch of papers. And while going through the papers, you see some other children. There's like a baby. I don't know. We might see some other children. And I wonder if that means in the future we may meet some of them. But when Eleven's going through it, she sees the picture of a young Indian girl. And she says, you know, this is her. This is the girl I saw. She tries to go under into kind of into the void to look for her, but she couldn't. Later, she does it while she's alone. This time, she didn't use any white noise or anything, so I don't know if her powers are getting stronger. This is kind of a display of that, but she's alone in bed, and she kind of approaches. This time, she almost sees her. She's in the void, and she sees someone kind of by a in a trash barrel fire, gets really close to her, almost sees her, and is woken up, comes downstairs. She's like, Becky, I found her. Becky, I found her. And she hears Becky calling the cops, you know, basically calling for Hopper. So in truth, you know, she's actually looking out for Eleven. She's helping her. She's sending the right people that she's looking for. But all Eleven sees is someone basically going behind her back and undermining her. But we know Hopper's good, so it's not a bad thing. But Eleven still, that bothers her. So she runs away. She steals some money out of Becky's wallet, and she runs away. And the last shot we see in the opening is Terry Ives kind of just rocking in the chair still, saying those words, and watching Channel 8 News. Get it? Channel 8. 8, like the girl. Huh? I don't know. I thought it was cool. So Eleven hops on a bus, and she's having more visions of number eight, I guess we can call her. And we see the bus is heading to Illinois. She gets off the bus, and She's in Chicago, and what do we hear? Bon Jovi Runaway playing, which is just perfect. She's a little runaway. I wrote down 11 and the City because it just felt like, you know, she's walking around the mean streets of Chicago. She seemed to love being in the big city. Of course, she runs into some guys like, watch it. And she, I guess, just keeps following her instinct and ends up in a bad Potter town. It's almost like a gutter back alley where all the homeless people and the I don't know, trash people, I don't know what to call them. They're all kind of hanging out there, but she walks right through them and just instinctively walks to a warehouse area and knows this is where to go. She walks right in. And I wrote down, she walks right in on four punks / wasteoids. And nothing sounds more 80s than the word wasteoids. But she wasn't intimidated by what she saw at all.
There's a spot a few blocks away.
Hello?
Well, well. What do we have here?
What is she wearing? What are those, overalls?
There aren't any cows to milk here, kid. Go on back to the farm now.
I'm looking for my sister.
Oh, Shirley Temple lost her sister. So sad.
I saw her. Here.
Uh-uh. Hand out of pocket. Slow.
Give me that shit.
Is that Collie?
Collie?
How'd you find us? Who else knows you're here?
No one.
So what then? Poof, you just show up like magic with that picture?
I stay calm. She's just a kid.
A kid who could get us all killed. I have to ask you again, Shirley. You're gonna start losing things, starting with those pretty little locks of yours, yeah?
Come on, Axe, put down the knife.
How did you find her?
I saw her. Axe!
That's not an answer!
She's... Get off! Shit!
You're a terrible dancer, Axel.
I told you, stay out of my head.
So we're threatening little girls now, are we?
She knows about you.
She had this. Where did you get this?
Mama. Your mother gave this to you? In her dream circle.
Dream circle? I think she's a schizo or something.
Says she's looking for her sister.
Yeah, like I said, schizo. Jesus.
I saw you in the rainbow room.
What is your name?
Jane.
Okay, that was a lot of audio. That was a long clip, I get it. But I thought it kind of displayed pretty good the introduction of Collie for the first time, kind of part of her crew, and Eleven kind of showing off her telekinetic powers, you know, having the knife fly in her hand. Of course, that's a great visual for a podcast. And Collie using her powers to make that guy... Axel think that he saw spiders all over his arm. So we see new powers, we see new people, we see a bigger world. But when Collie and Eleven compare tattoos together, you could see right away that they have made a connection and they know there's a connection and a bond between them, and they call each other sisters. We cut to the rooftop of the warehouse, and Eleven, even though in this episode she is referred to as Jane the entire time, to me she's still Eleven. And even though we first saw her as 8, she's Collie. So it's Eleven and Collie, or Collie. So Eleven and Collie are on a rooftop where it seems like Eleven tells everything about herself to Collie. And Kylie says, you know, what you can do is incredible. You are very special. And Kylie explains that she can make people see things that are not there. They don't always have to be scary. She showed a real pretty butterfly. And Eleven's like, are you real? And she said, yes, I'm real. And they had a little laugh. Cut to inside, and Kali is giving Eleven a blanket to sleep. She says that she feels whole again, that a piece of her was missing, and now it's not. She thinks her mother sent her there, sent Eleven to be there. She thinks this is Eleven's home. And as you can see, Eleven, a theme of this episode is really home, and a lot of Eleven's story is kind of trying to figure out where she fits in. Because I noticed that Becky, Terry Ives, her mother, said, you know, you could live here. This could be your home. Hopper gave her the cabin there and said that was her home. And I wrote down, Eleven just wants to belong. You could see it. So we cut to the void. And Eleven is in the void. And she sees the radio from the cabin. And she actually got to hear the message that Hopper left in the previous episode. You know, I said last time he left a message and, you know, no one's ever going to hear it because Eleven was gone. But she did get a chance to hear it in the void, which was pretty cool. It was pretty nice for her to hear what Hopper had to say. You know, maybe that was one of the first things that made her realize that, you know, she belonged elsewhere. So we wake up the next day, and Eleven is introduced to Kali's crew. And this is where I start to get annoyed. Or not annoyed, but this is where I could see some of my pessimism is coming through. I wrote down, Kali's crew. I literally like none of them. I care for none of them. I don't care for their plans. I love that there is a wider world based on Brenner's experiments. I just hope if there are others, I care or like them more. Yeah, so I'm starting to think that it's not just that I dislike this episode because we're away from the main story. It's mainly because I don't like the people that Eleven gets roped in with. I don't like anybody in this crew. And I'm really, at the end of this episode, I really like Kali less. And I'm sure we're not done with her. But I kind of wish we were, which is, you know, too bad. I wish I liked them more. But they do kind of fill in Eleven on what it is they do.
Everyone you see here was in some way responsible for what happened to us.
You hurt the Batman?
No, we just give him a pat on the back.
You kill them? They're criminals. We simply make them pay for their crimes.
Boom.
Damn, Shirley, what's the matter? You look like you've seen a ghost.
We can't all be fighters, I guess. I'm a fighter. I've killed.
And these men you killed, did they deserve it?
They hurt me.
And they still want to hurt you. Hurt us. We're just making the first move.
You ever see an episode of a television show where one of the characters goes off on an adventure with all these new characters just to set up a spinoff? That's almost what this felt like to me. Like, Eleven went off to meet Kali and her crew, and they're setting up a spinoff of these avenging, you know, punk rockers that travel around killing everybody that has ever done them wrong. And Eleven says right there, she has killed, and she has killed, but really only when it was really only out of self-defense when her back was up against the wall. So Kali takes Eleven outside You know, a lot of the time when I'm talking about the show, I go, meanwhile, over here and back over here. And then we go over here. Well, with this episode, it's Eleven's episode. It just kind of stays with her. So we're with Eleven, and then we're with Eleven inside. We're with Eleven on top of the building. We're with Eleven outside during the day. And right now, Kali takes Eleven outside to help her kind of strengthen her power. You know, she says that, you know, she's got a very special gift, and she wants her to kind of focus on her anger to make the power stronger. Seems to work.
Do you see that train?
Yes.
I want you to draw it to us.
Last night, you told me you lifted a van once.
Yes.
The Batmen were trying to take you away again, and that made you angry. Good.
So find that anger.
Focus on that. Not the train, not its weight. I want you to find something from your life. Something that angers you. Now channel it. Dig deeper. Your whole life you've been lied to.
Do I have a mother?
She's not around anymore.
In prison.
Hey, don't walk away from me!
Hold the hell up!
The Batman took away your home. Your mother. They took everything from you.
Mama!
They stole your life, Jane.
I want you to find it.
Okay, so Eleven feels good about, you know, the power she is able to display. And the crew loves it because they are manipulative jerks and they know that they could use this power to help them. So they bring her into this room and it's just a wall of photos and newspapers. These are the bad men that they think are still alive. And Eleven recognizes one of them. The guy who electrocuted her mother in the Hawkins laboratory and electrocuted Kali as well. And they know they can use Eleven to track them. They're like, you know, she found me with this photo. So they kind of give Eleven the photo. She does a little trick and she just nods that she knows where she is. She knows where he is. So they're like, all right, here we go. We're going to go do it. So they know they said it's risky because they're already wanted, but they go for it. And not before Eleven gets her new look, her new little emo Eleven look with a little eyeshadow, grease back hair. And what'd she say? Bitchin'. So they head out in their van. But of course, right where they're driving off, there are some cops arresting somebody. And one of the cops takes notice of the van. Obviously, that van has been, you know, people have been on the lookout. An All Points Bulletin, I'm sure, has been put out for that van, and somebody noticed. So they stop at a mini-mart to stock up, and Kali uses her powers to make the guy working there think that the bathroom is leaking and freaking out, and they all just start robbing the place. And I wrote down, I do not like any of these people. I mean, they're all criminal jerks. But the guy comes out and pulls a gun Kali starts to reason with her. And as even as you reason with her, these are my notes. I do not like her. If they all got shot and 11 left, I would feel no sorrow. But of course, 11 uses her powers to knock the guy out. And as the cops, they can hear the cops coming, they bail. So 11, you know, sees her new friends and for some reason uses her powers to take this guy out. Obviously to help her new quote unquote family. No, I don't even want to think about it. So they pull up to an apartment complex and 11 kind of uses her powers again to figure out exactly what he's doing. She says he's watching television. She saw him and no one else. He said, is he alone? She said, I saw him. No one else. Interesting. They all put on these kind of toy, these kids 80 Halloween masks from the 80s. And 11's wearing a baby face. I don't know if that's, you know, because she's the kid. we cut to inside and Ray is watching a wonderful episode of Punky Brewster. You know, for the most part, my notes here pretty much cover everything that happens. TV goes off. They break in. And then I wrote, two awful people go off to rob them. One awful person stands guard. The other awful person is in the car. 11 and awful Kali reveal themselves. Kali makes him see them as kids using her powers, and 11 flings him across the room. Ray says he was just following orders. You know, he is fearful for his life as these two powerful women are standing over him. And he starts groveling.
I just did what he told me to do. He said she was sick.
You had a choice, Ray. And you chose to follow a man you knew was evil.
Wait. I can help you find him.
Find who?
Brenner! I can take you to him.
Papa is gone.
No, he is alive.
Do not lie to us, Ray.
I'm not... You trust me. I'll take you to him.
If he's alive, Jane will find him. Just as she found you. Do it, Jane. Do it.
You know, I hated seeing 11 like this. Just standing over this guy with hatred in her eyes. She really looked a little bit like a monster. And she saw the picture of Ray next to these two kids. And she realized, or she started to realize, that there's a family. And she couldn't bring herself to do it. At the same time, the two people who were robbing found those kids in a back room. Those kids being awesome and calling the cops. Kali tries to goad her into showing no mercy. She takes out a gun and 11 kind of powers the gun away. They leave him alive and they just run off. Kali is mad at 11, says she took her choice away. And I wrote down, I hate Kali with a fiery passion. Kali is pissed at Jane, 11. Maybe I don't hate this episode. Maybe I just hate the people that 11 turned to. Yeah. Just like, you took my choice away. Don't ever take my choice away. I was like, you know what? I don't like you. Okay. 11 is fighting monsters that are trying to take over the world. Okay. And you're just, I'm going to get the people who hurt me. No, I don't like it. I also hate the fact that it takes us away from the main story. But we cut back to their hideout. They're listening to a police scanner. A couple of them are playing cards. And Kali sits with 11. And she gives her this whole story about how she escaped. How she had to fight. She had a family for a while. Then she lost them. And she decided to use her gifts to fight for those who hurt her. She says that 11 has a choice. She can go back into hiding, or she could fight. She could fight the man who did this to her. And she's like, Papa is dead.
Fight and face him again.
Face who?
The man who calls himself our father.
Papa is dead.
That man tonight disagreed.
You're not real.
All this time, and you haven't looked for me. Why? Because you thought I was dead? Or because you were afraid of what you might find?
Go away.
You have to confront your pain. You have a wound, Eleven. A terrible wound. And it's festering. Do you remember what that means? Festering. It means a rot. And it will grow. Spread.
Get out of my head.
And eventually, it will kill you.
Get out of my head!
Okay. How awful is Kali? She takes this impressionable, 13-year-old kid and makes her see a vision of the man who did terrible things to them. Now, this is what I was trying to figure out. Brenner says, you have a wound, Eleven, a terrible wound, festering, a rot, and it will grow. And I was trying to figure out, is Kali making him say that? Or is Eleven hearing him say that subconsciously as she sees him, saying the rot will eventually kill her? What was that about? Was it just kind of them saying, look, you have, this in the back of your mind, you need to kill these people before they kill you? I don't know if there was more to that than let on, but I wrote, I hate her and I hope I never see her again. The fact that she did this to our Eleven, to try to persuade her. She's like, you have a choice to stay or go home with your policeman. I wrote, F you, Kali, I hate you. These are my notes as I'm watching the episode. The second time around, the episode itself, my God, it wasn't, I didn't hate the episode as much as I just hated these people, okay? It was a little growth experience for Eleven. We got to see her go on a little journey with terrible, awful people. So the cops show up. They start showing up. And I wrote, this episode's almost done. Yay! But the cops are walking in slowly, so we don't, they're not in the building just yet. So obviously, I'm assuming Eleven was left alone after that. And she starts thinking of Mike. She starts thinking of Dustin. She starts thinking of Hopper. And next thing you know, she is in the void having a vision.
That's where I was. This damn graveyard.
I need to get through! I need to get through!
Whoa.
I need to warn them, it's a trap! I need to get through, it's a trap! I need to tell them it's a trap! Fuck! It's a trap! It's a trap!
Uh-oh, the cops are here. So in the vision, she's hearing this banging. The cops showed up at the warehouse. But just to go back to the vision, it was cool that she kind of was going back to an important part of seeing Hopper panicking and seeing Mike panicking, pretty much the two most important people in her life, and worried about the same thing. And, she's freaking out because she's trying to figure out what the problem is. She doesn't know, but the cops showed up, so that was pretty cool. Now, Kali gets them all together and has them sit perfectly still. This was pretty cool. She uses her powers to make them all appear invisible. I actually wrote down, that was pretty cool. So while they are, while the cops go by them, they run out, they take off, and they head down to the van. And, of course, Axel starts shooting because, he's an awful criminal shooting at policemen. And Kali puts up this giant wall vision, this pretty awesome giant wall. And they all jump in the van and they're like, we have to go, Jane, we have to go. But Eleven, she just couldn't go with them.
Mike, it's a trap! It's a trap!
I'm going to get through.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I have to go back. My friends are in danger.
This isn't time for a talk. We gotta go right now.
Your mother sent you here for a reason, remember? We belong together. There's nothing for you back there. They cannot save you, Jane. No. But I can save them.
Okay, maybe the whole episode was okay just for that one moment when she said no, but I can save them. I was like, even the first time I saw it, the second time I saw it, I said, awesome. The only thing that would have made the episode better is if when Jane was running off, we saw the van explode and they were all dead. Okay, maybe that's a little harsh, but just the fact that Jane went, saw these people, went with them, kind of tried to do their thing, saw she didn't fit in, realizes she's needed elsewhere, and realizes she needs to get back to her buddies in Hawkins. Pretty awesome. You know, the episode itself, meh, the crew, bleh, but that was pretty awesome. So the last scene, she's back on a bus heading home, and this woman, this nice older woman, just sees her and, sees her sitting alone and wants to sit with her.
You are awfully young to be traveling alone, aren't you? Well, you are quite the chatterbox. So, where you headed? To your parents, I hope?
I'm going to my friends. I'm going home.
I felt like I was watching the end of a movie or the end of something like a trilogy where, our hero is coming back at the end of the movie. Yeah, we realize the next movie, we have to wait till the next movie. Well, it's Netflix, so we only have to wait till the next episode. But in one episode, they made us, Eleven kind of out of the picture and then kind of brought her right back into the picture. You know, she's not back in it yet. Unfortunately, she's not in it a lot with our friends. They don't all know that she's back, but they will soon. They will soon. And of course, we have all next year in the future for us. But as of right now, I usually like to take the end of every episode and say, what did we learn? Well, what did we learn? Well, we learned about who this mysterious number 8 was. We learned that it was Kali. We learned that she lives with some folks that she helps kind of take revenge on people who did bad to them. Basically, a bunch of quote-unquote avenging criminals, who none of whom I cared for very much. They're criminals themselves. That's why they're avenging criminals. What else did we learn? Well, we learned that there is at least a hint of Brenner possibly still being alive, according to the guy Ray. I mean, we know that there are other kids, and we know that Eleven really wants a home. I mean, from Becky to Kali to Hopper, they all talked about home, and at the last thing she says is, "And I'm going back to my friends. I'm going home." So she knows where her home is. It's in Hawkins, the scariest town in the world. God, what else did we learn? I mean, not much else, really, right? I mean, this whole thing with Eleven having a wound, a festering rot in her brain. I mean, I don't know if that's just a metaphor or if it's something that Eleven knows about. I don't know if that's something that Kali just made her kind of put in her head as like a guilt trip to stay with her. I don't know. But it was cool to see Matthew Modine again. And, I guess we learned with if Eleven really harnesses her power, her anger, that she can move a friggin' train. So we know that she is even more powerful. Her powers are getting stronger. And that'll come in handy. That will come in handy. But really, I just want her back. I want her back in Hawkins, Indiana, with my friends as they fight the bad guys. I wrote that song. It's going to be on iTunes, available soon. I just want her back. And next week, we will get back to Hawkins, Indiana. We will get back to Eleven and the boys all together. It'll all start to come to fruition when then we get to the last episode. But we're about a week away from that. We're almost a year away from that, if you think about it, because right now it's December 29th, 2017. And the next time we have an episode, it will be 2018. Pretty exciting, right? That's how it works, though. You know, at the end of every year, what happens is the next day is a new year. So it's pretty, pretty great. I'm still on vacation, technically. I mean, right now it's almost like a long weekend. But I don't go back to work till Wednesday, the 3rd. So pretty awesome. Pretty, pretty awesome. But that's all I got to say. I probably won't ever watch this episode again. And I'm sure I will see some of these people again. At least we'll see Kali. I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong the whole time. But that is it, my friends. So I just want to say thank you very much for downloading, listening, and subscribing to Stranger Danger or Geek Mentality. We are part of the Geek Mentality podcast, which is a podcast that I do on just about anything geeky. The last episode that wasn't Stranger Danger was on The Last Jedi, which I did enjoy. I know it's getting, you know, mixed reviews from people, but I enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing it again. And before that, I saw Justice League, which I did enjoy, and I was one of the few people that did. So really, as you can see, I enjoy things. But we do have a new podcast on the website. The website's fansnotexperts.com. And then there's a new podcast my cousin just started called The Metallicast. So if you are a heavy metal fan, then you're probably a Metallica fan. And if you are a Metallica fan, then I suggest you check out Metallicast. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play. And of course, you can find it at fansnotexperts.com. And until next week, all I can say is, even though the Shadow Monster did not even make an appearance in this episode, you really should still beware him. Ooh, I hope you all had a happy, merry Christmas, happy holidays. I don't know, whatever people say. But there's one thing I can say that everyone can get involved with, and that is Happy New Year. And until next week, beware the Demogorgon. Don't eat too much Chinese food on New Year's Eve or drink too much. I'm thirsty. And I'm going to have some seltzer now. Yum, yum, yum. I like seltzer. Yum, yum, yum. Seltzer, seltzer, seltzer.
Fans Not Experts.
Seltzer, seltzer, seltzer.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.